You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today is the Monday edition, and we have a lot of breaking news, mainly out of Washington, D.C., and I'm going to be focusing in on at least four stories. But over the weekend, there was some action, protest in D.C., the Women's March to D.C. I'll be getting into that a little bit later. It was rather crude language being used. I think you're seeing that the lying lunatic left is having a breakdown. They're rather hysterical. They better live with it. Accept it. And for new listeners, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. I certainly did not vote for Donald Trump because I'm for limited government, and neither of them are. And the Republican and Democratic Party are big government parties. So I'm somewhat unbiased. I have my point of view. But I really don't think that the Women's March played well outside of maybe New York City and San Francisco, and where the Democrats control the cities. In flyover country, it did not go over well at all. And it sort of reminded me of 30, 40 years ago when they were trying to pass the ERA, Equal Rights Amendment, that ultimately got rejected. So it was sort of deja vu, but what's new here? And it's coming out that apparently George Soros has been funding a number of organizations and was responsible for the financing of much of this march. We'll see. So that was going on yesterday. Was it yesterday or Saturday? I don't know. I don't have a TV at home. I don't watch television at all. So there was a parade and a rally, and some speakers embarrassed themselves, I think, more than anything else. Now, that's not the focus of this show. This is Donald Trump's first day in office, and he's been very, very busy. But before today, he went to his first official visit, and it was his first official visit, was to the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, where he was very well received, mainly by the rank and file. The room held 400 people, and only 300 of 1,000 that wanted to attend were able to attend. Hopefully next time, and I think there will be a next time, there'll be a much larger room. And Donald Trump, President Trump, spoke to the group, and it was an interesting speech. And I want to play at least the introduction. Now, I want to point out, though, and for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is to go to ProntPops.wordpress.com, and under my photograph, you'll see links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. And this is show 822, and this is the first full week of classes at Richland College. So I wish all the new students, as well as continuing students, the best in their studies, and I hope many of them listen. We mainly broadcast on the web, and it's primarily for college students, faculty, and staff. My own ambition is to become a nationally syndicated news talk show presenter or host, and I plan to do that really in the next 2 years because I've really improved since the time I started. Well, let's get back to the presidential speech, but he gave it in front of a wall of honor that recognizes by stars 28 people that died Some of them were executed, but died in service to their country. Some of the names you'll never know. It's a wall of honor, and that's what it's called, in honor of those members of the Central Intelligence Agency that gave their lives in the service of their country. And I want to play some. I'm not going to play the entire speech, but you can hear the cheering, and let's get it started. I'll play the early introduction as well and take it from there. Well, I won't play the early introduction.
Well, I want to thank everybody, very, very special people. And it is true, this is my first stop, officially. We're not talking about the balls, and we're not talking about even the speeches. Although, they did treat me nicely on that speech yesterday. I always call them the dishonest media, but they treated me nicely. But I want to say that there is nobody that feels stronger about the intelligence community and the CIA than Donald Trump. There's nobody. And the wall behind me is very, very special. We've been touring for quite a while. And I'll tell you what, 29? I can't believe it. Oh, 28. We've got to reduce it. But that's amazing. And we really appreciate what you've done in terms of showing us something very special. And your whole group, these are really special, amazing people. Very, very few people could do the job you people do. And I want to just let you know, I am so behind you. And I know maybe sometimes you haven't gotten the backing that you've wanted, and you're going to get so much backing. Maybe you're going to say, please don't give us so much backing. Mr. President, please, we don't need that much backing. But you're going to have that, and I think everybody in this room knows it. You know, the military and the law enforcement, generally speaking, but all of it, but the military gave us tremendous percentages of votes. We were unbelievably successful in the election with getting the vote of the military. And probably almost everybody in this room voted for me, but I will not ask you to raise your hands if you did. But I would guarantee a big portion, because we're all on the same wavelength, folks. We're all on the same wavelength, right? Who knows? Took Brian about 30 seconds to figure that one out, right? Because we know we're on the same wavelength. But we're going to do great things. We're going to do great things. We've been fighting these wars for longer than any wars we've ever fought. We have not used the real abilities that we have. We've been restrained. We have to get rid of ISIS. We have to get rid of ISIS. We have no choice. Radical Islamic terrorism, and I said it yesterday, has to be eradicated just off the face of the earth. This is evil. This is evil. And, you know, I can understand the other side. We can all understand the other side. There can be wars between countries. There can be wars. You can understand what happened. This is something nobody can even understand. This is a level of evil that we haven't seen. And you're going to go to it, and you're going to do a phenomenal job, but we're going to end it. It's time. It's time right now to end it. You have somebody coming on who is extraordinary. You know, for the different positions of secretary of this and secretary of that and all of these great positions, I'd see 5, 6, 7, 8 people. And we had a great transition. We had an amazing team of talent. And by the way, General Flynn is right over here. Put up your hand, Mike. What a good guy. And Reince and my whole group. Reince, you know, right? You know, they don't care about Reince. He's like this political guy that turned out to be a superstar, right? We don't have to talk about Reince. But We did. We had just such a tremendous, tremendous success. So when I'm interviewing all of these candidates that Reince and his whole group is putting in front, it went very, very quickly, and in this case went so quickly, because I would see 6 or 7 or 8 for Secretary of Agriculture, who we just named the other day, Sonny Perdue, governor, former governor of Georgia, fantastic guy. But I'd see 6, 7, 8 people for a certain position. Everybody wanted it. But I met Mike Pompeo, and it was the only guy I met. I didn't want to meet anybody else. I said, cancel everybody else. Cancel. Now, he was approved, essentially, but they're doing little political games with me. You know, he was one of the three. Now, last night, as you know, General Mattis, fantastic guy, and General Kelly got approved. And Mike Pompeo was supposed to be in that group. It was going to be the three of them. Can you imagine all of these guys? People respect, you know, they respect that military sense. All my political people, they're not doing so well. The political people aren't doing so well, but you. We're going to get them all through, but some will take a little bit longer than others. But Mike was literally, I had a group of, what, we have 9 different people? Now, I must say, I didn't mind canceling 8 appointments. That wasn't the worst thing in the world. But I met him, and I said, he is so good. Number one in his class at West Point. Now, I know a lot about West Point. And to be 1 year, I'm a person that very strongly believes in academics. In fact, every time I say I had an uncle who was a great professor at MIT for 35 years, who did a fantastic job in so many different ways academically. He was an academic genius. And then they say, there's Donald Trump, an intellectual. Trust me, I'm like a smart person. And I recognized immediately. So he was number one at West Point. And he was also essentially number one at Harvard Law School. And then he decided to go into the military. And he ran for Congress. And everything he's done has been a home run. People like him. But much more importantly to me, everybody respects him. And when I told Paul Ryan that I want to do this, I would say he may be the only person that was not totally thrilled. Right, Mike? Because he said, I don't want to lose this guy. But you will be getting a total star. You're going to be getting a total gem. This is a gem. And I just... You'll see. You'll see. And many of you know him anyway, but you're going to see. And again, we have some great people going in, but this one is something going to be very special, because this is one, if I had to name the most important, this would certainly be perhaps, you know, in certain ways you could say my most important. You do the job like everybody in this room is capable of doing. There can be, and the generals are wonderful, and the fighting is wonderful. But if you give them the right direction, boy, does the fighting become easier. And boy, do we lose so fewer lives and win so quickly. And that's what we have to do. We have to start winning again. You know, when I was young and when I was, of course, I feel young. I feel like I'm 30, 35, 39. Somebody said, are you young? I said, I think I'm young. You know, I was stopping when we were in the final month of that campaign, 4 stops, 5 stops, 7 stops, speeches, in front of 25, 30,000 people, 15,000, 19,000 from stop to stop. I feel young. But when I was young, and I think we're all sort of young, when I was young, we were always winning things in this country. We'd win with trade, we'd win with wars. At a certain age, I remember hearing from one of my instructors, the United States has never lost a war. And then after that, it's like, we haven't won anything. We don't win anymore. The old expression, to the victor belong the spoils. You remember I always used to say, keep the oil. I wasn't a fan of Iraq. I didn't want to go into Iraq. But I will tell you, when we were in, we got out wrong. And I always said, in addition to that, keep the oil. Now, I said it for economic reasons. But if you think about it, Mike, if we kept the oil, you probably wouldn't have ISIS because that's where they made their money in the first place. So we should have kept the oil. But okay. Maybe you'll have another chance. But the fact is, should have kept the oil. I believe that this group is going to be one of the most important groups in this country toward making us safe, toward making us winners again, toward ending all of the problems. We have so many problems that are interrelated that we don't even think of, but interrelated to the kind of havoc and fear that this sick group of people has caused. So I can only say that I am with you 1,000%. And the reason you're my first stop is that, as you know, I have a running war with the media. They are among the most dishonest human beings on earth. Right? And they sort of made it sound like I had a feud with the intelligence community. And I just want to let you know, the reason you're number one stop, it is exactly the opposite. Exactly. And they understand that, too. And I was explaining about the numbers. We did a thing yesterday, the speech. Did everybody like the speech? You had a lot. So I've been given good news. But we had a massive field of people. You saw that. Packed. I get up this morning, I turn on one of the networks, and they show an empty field. I said, wait a minute. I made a speech. I looked out. The field was, it looked like a million and a half people. They showed a field where there were practically nobody standing there. And they said, Donald Trump did not draw well. I said, it was almost raining. The rain should have scared him away, but God looked down and he said, we're not going to let it rain on your speech. In fact, when I first started, I said, oh, no. First line, I got hit by a couple of drops. And I said, oh, this is too bad, but we'll go right through it. But the truth is that it stopped immediately. It was amazing. And then it became really sunny. Then I walked off, and it poured right after I left. It poured. But, you know, we have something that's amazing because we had, it looked, honestly, it looked like 1.5 million people. Whatever it was, it was. But it went all the way back to the Washington Monument. And I turn on the thing, and by mistake, I get this network. And it showed an empty field. And it said, we drew 250,000 people. Now, that's not bad, but it's a lie. We had 250,000 people literally around, you know, in the little bowl that we constructed. That was 250,000 people. The rest of the, you know, 20-block area all the way back to the Washington Monument was packed. So we caught them, and we caught them in a beauty. And I think they're going to pay a big price. We had another one yesterday, which was interesting. In the Oval Office, there's a beautiful statue of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I also happen to like Churchill, Winston Churchill. I think most of us like Churchill. Doesn't come from our country, but had a lot to do with it, helped us, real ally. And as you know, Churchill's statue was taken out, the bust. And as you also probably have read, the Prime Minister is coming over to our country very shortly, and they wanted to know whether or not I'd like it back. I'd say absolutely, but in the meantime, we have a bust of Churchill. So a reporter for Time magazine, and I have been on their cover like 14 or 15 times. I think we have the all-time record in the history of Time magazine. Like if Tom Brady's on the cover, it's one time because he won the Super Bowl or something, right? I've been on for 15 times this year. I don't think that's a record, Mike, that can never be broken. Do you agree with that? What do you think? But I will say that they said it was very interesting that Donald Trump took down the bust, the statue of Dr. Martin Luther King, and it was right there. But there was a cameraman that was in front of it. So Zeke from Time magazine writes a story about I took down. I would never do that because I had great respect for Dr. Martin. But this is how dishonest the media is. Now, big story, the retraction was like where? What, was it a line, or do they even bother putting it in? So I only like to say that because I love honesty. I like honest reporting. I will tell you, final time, although I will say it when you let in your thousands of other people that have been trying to come in, because I am coming back, we may have to get you a larger room. We may have to get you a larger room. You know? And maybe, maybe it'll be built by somebody that knows how to build and we won't have columns. Do you understand that? We get rid of the columns. But no, I just wanted to really say that I love you. I respect you. There's nobody I respect more. You're going to do a fantastic job, and we're going to start winning again, and you're going to be leading the charge. So thank you all very much. Thank you, beautiful. Thank you all very much. Had a good time. I'll be back. I'll be back. Thank you.
That was President Trump addressing a group of CIA employees Saturday, his first stop, first event, first speech to a government agency, not a department. It was short to the point. Normally, I would have not played the entire clip. I decided since the introductions were cut out, I went with the entire clip. I want to make a couple of comments. One is, a lot of people have the impression that the CIA's main focus is intelligence gathering, and it is. But its focus is human intelligence. Contrast that with the National Security Agency that's responsible for signals intelligence. So the impression is it's intelligence. You know, what are our enemies doing? What's their intention? But what's forgotten, but it's hard to forget, the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, is tasked with covert operations in nations. And there's a long history of both successes and failures. While we've had many military interventions abroad, for every one, we've had many more CIA interventions. And they're not supposed to be known. Now, they're definitely known by the enemy or the country we're in, but not by the American people. A good example of a covert operation that should not have been exposed was a disaster, a blown operation, and what I'm referring to is Benghazi. You see, the temptation of all presidents, they don't want to military intervene. That's very public, usually controversial, and many times, most times, there's no declaration of war, and that's what the Constitution requires. And that power is not given to the president. It is given to who? Congress. The last time we declared war was World War II. So we've been in many wars since. Now, some had congressional authorization. There's no set format of a declaration of war. But we should have the national conversation as to whether or not we're going to militarily intervene in a country prior to going in, not afterwards. Because I maintain that in most instances, the American people, and it's never really put up to a vote, are against it. And what has happened since World War II is the United States has gradually, and in some senses at an accelerated rate, morphed from a American republic with limited, and I would say very limited, military and CIA operations to numerous CIA and military operations as we've become an empire. And that's what we are today. And the CIA is the first and most used agency to engage in that intervention. And that's usually what they do is they hire former special forces from the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, and they leave the military force and they work as contractors for the CIA. And that's what two of the people killed in Benghazi were that. The other was the ambassador and the Department of State employee. You see, Benghazi, there were approximately 35 CIA operatives. Some were employees of the CIA, and the others were contract personnel. And they were engaged in a covert operation, initially started as what? Intervention in Libya. Remember the phrase, no boots on the ground? That was the phrase that President Obama repeated. But there were plenty of boots on the ground, CIA boots on the ground, as well as some NATO forces, especially from Great Britain. And what were they doing? They were training people, rebel groups, to attack Muammar Gaddafi. I'm not a friend to Muammar Gaddafi. I'm glad he's dead, glad his regime is gone. But we destabilized the entire region when we did that. And now it's a worse situation. We took sides, and the people that we supported, many of them are fighting us. Al-Qaeda and now the Islamic State, groups affiliated with it, are in Libya and control large parts of it. So the CIA has been a favorite agency that presidents turn to in terms of interfering with other countries. Now, the justification is always given, it's in the national interest. But this was done unilaterally by the President of the United States. There was no declaration of war. And we did double cross Russia, Putin. If you want to know why Putin is not was not happy with either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, he felt he was double crossed. And he was double crossed because he agreed in the UN Security Council to, instead of vetoing it, allow a no-fly zone. And that was used to use NATO air forces, French, Great Britain, as well as ours, to destroy much of the capability, military capability, in terms of Gaddafi, his air force, and his navy. And the CIA was providing training, weapons, intelligence, and it ultimately resulted in the fall of that regime. It was the purpose was to overthrow the regime. And Putin thought that they would not kill Muammar Gaddafi. Now, why was that important? For 40 years, over 40 years, Muammar Gaddafi was buying weapons from the revenues he got from selling oil, mainly from Russia. And his one of his major buyers of weapons no longer is buying weapons. Now, that's definitely in the interest of the United States. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what did we get? Ultimately, what was the result? Well, we had mission creep. Initially, the CIA was to support who? The dissident groups in Benghazi. The center of the dissident groups was in Benghazi. The pretext given by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and other people in the State Department that it was about to commit genocide against the people of Libya, but there was no intelligence supporting that at all. And initially, President Obama was against it, but he was pushed into it by the State Department, mainly Hillary Clinton, really lying about what was going on, making it up. So we intervene in Libya, overthrew Gaddafi, and then what happened? All the dissident groups, all of them, broke into the weapons lockers, warehouses, and took weapons, including surface-to-air missiles, some that you can mount on your shoulder that can bring down airliners as well as military aircraft, rifles, pistols, ammunition, artillery, tanks, you name it. Gaddafi had it in many warehouses stacked to the ceiling. So weapons were quickly, those warehouses were broken in, and they took their Toyota trucks, filled them up, and they're well-armed. And many of those arms are now sold throughout the world. Now, we had mission creep in the sense that once that happened, the CIA was tasked to recover, especially those shoulder-mounted missiles that can bring down aircraft. And there were over 20,000 of them. But they were to gather all those weapons, including those, and ship them to Syria, where we're going to intervene. But we found out rather quickly, the CIA found out rather quickly, who we were going to give these to are not friends of the United States. And we couldn't control it. Oh, yeah, we could give it to the so-called Free Syrian Army, but we could not control where those weapons ultimately ended up, including Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. So President Obama cut it off, and shortly thereafter, an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group attacked the so-called diplomatic facility in Benghazi, and the so-called covert action or covert operation was blown sky high and was on the news. We have not had a public, in public, and really it should have happened a long time ago, but there's been a cover-up by both Republicans and Democrats as to what the CIA was doing there. Well, it's no secret what they were doing there. They were shipping arms to Syria to really people that were not our enemies, And once we learned, hey, this is not a very good idea, we shut it off, and that's why 4 Americans died, and we subsequently pulled out the CIA station that was there. And not too many months later, we had to retreat and pull out our diplomatic personnel from Tripoli, which is on the western side of the country. Benghazi is on the east. They're both near the coast, right along the Mediterranean coast. It was a foreign policy disaster, and the CIA was intimately involved in it. But we've never had a public airing of what actually went on. Now, I know you don't want to have CIA people that are making a career of it being on public television. But we need an accounting to the American people, and we haven't had it. The focus was on the lack of security at the diplomatic facility protecting the ambassador, but this was a CIA operation from the get-go, from the very beginning. And it was a blown operation, and the cover story, the video, was a lie. And that's the problem. The American people are being lied to by the administration, the past administration, and the media. Now, a lot of it subsequently came out, but remember when this happened, we were literally less than 2 months away from an election. So big lie media, the television networks and the newspapers, didn't really investigate this until after. And even then, not much. Because they wanted Barack Obama to have a second term. And he won. He shouldn't have won. This is a foreign policy failure of the first order. And the reason I'm going on about this is it will be a great temptation for Donald Trump to use the CIA, and he will use the CIA. If he wants to eliminate the Islamic State, he has to use the CIA, because you're going to have special forces operators going into these countries, because you got to target where are these people. And then you can either bomb them or send in infantry. The CIA, you need intelligence as to where the enemy is, and that means the CIA is going to be involved, and they are going to be CIA boots on the ground. The CIA has had its successes and failures, and will have more successes and more failures. But Donald Trump is betraying himself in his speech that he really doesn't want to go into nation after nation. I agree with that. He sounds very much like a non-interventionist president, which I support. I think the American empire has cost too many lives, too much money, and what you got to realize, we're broke. In terms of the financial situation of the United States today, we have approaching $20 trillion in national debt, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. On top of that, we have unfunded liabilities, primarily for Social Security and Medicare, which is growing. They have deficits, and there are a range of estimates, but the lowest end, it's $100 trillion, the high end, over $200 trillion, depending on what assumptions you want to make. What that means, they don't have the money to pay the benefits. And it's time for Congress to tell the truth. It's time for the president to tell the truth. We're broke. We don't have the money. It's a big time problem. And that means cuts, cuts, cuts in the size of the federal government. And it means no more ventures abroad. Now, I agree with Trump that the exception to this is the Islamic State. But I don't want U.S. soldiers to be doing it. And really, I don't want CIA special operators to do it. Who created this monster? It's right out of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, the Salafists. And that's another show that I don't want to get into. It's too much details. The Islamic State are Salafists. They're Sunni Arabs. Sunni is the major sect of Islam. Salafist is a subsect, if you will. And they need to be destroyed. And they were funded by who? Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and other Sunnis in the region to stand up against who? The Shia Iraqis, as well as the Iranian Shia, Persian Shia. See, the Shia and the Sunni hate each other guts, and they kill each other. It's a religious sectarian civil war. And American people don't want to be referee in a civil war. Because if you try that, both sides will kill you. So the military does not want to go back in, and frankly, I don't think the CIA should. But they will be. Now, that's enough about the CIA, and I'm glad Mr. Trump did it. You could see what the media was trying to do was to downplay the size of the number of people that attended the inauguration. I saw a number that it was the Park Service that actually came out with a number, and I haven't had time to totally verify that, but it's way over a million. The number I saw was 4 million. But you need to understand the case that the Trump administration is, okay, there were so many people there, but if you consider who are watching it on YouTube, television, their smartphones, you name it, their laptops, it by far broke all records. But what is the press story going to be? Well, it wasn't well attended. It wasn't well viewed. It's a lie. It's misleading at best. It's nonsense. And Donald Trump is not going to put up with it. I agree. I think when someone is dishonest and lying about you, you get in their face. That's what I do. I'm from New York, too. You get in my face, you start lying, I'm going to get in yours. And Donald Trump does it. And I applaud him for it. They need to be called out when they do it. We need to restore some integrity and honesty to journalism. They should be accurate, factual, not misleading, and report the facts, not their opinion. They don't do it. Instead, they report fake news or sloppy news. It was sloppy of a Time magazine reporter to do what he did. Oh, yes, he's apologized. The point is, you need to verify your facts before. He was part of a pool, and he should have made sure of his facts and asked some questions. Well, where is it? I'm not seeing it. Instead, he just tweeted it out and told about 2,000 reporters, Martin Luther King's statue, Trump has gotten rid of it. It's not in the Oval Office. It was there. Open your eyes. Do your job. That's sloppy journalism. I call it junk journalism. It's junk journalism. Some call it fake news. Now, I want to go to briefly, I'm not going to go over the executive orders other than to report that Donald Trump is starting to sign executive orders repealing part of Obamacare. And I'm going to give a separate show on Obamacare maybe this week. It depends what's in the news. But I want to play another clip. And again, this is much shorter, by the way. Donald Trump is signing not the first executive order. They were actually signed when he was on Capitol Hill. Remember, you saw a lot of TV shots with Donald Trump signing. One of those was an executive order, and he has his cute grandchildren there. But today he signed another 3, a total of 4 by my count. He'll probably be signing at least another 100 or 200. Let me play that clip. Well, I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. What I'm going to do is I'll continue this tomorrow. I do apologize for this because I spent too much time on that clip. I'm going to wrap the show up. Let me see. Just 1 minute. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to highlight this. I'll pick it up from there. The president did sign 3 executive orders, 1 pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That will save American jobs. He signed some other ones that will minimize the impact of Obamacare, and we'll have more information on that. I was going to play the first press conference of Sean Spicer. I'll do that tomorrow, too. I do apologize. I just spent a little bit too much time on the CIA story in Benghazi, which I hadn't really originally planned to. So thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, radiating reason, and KDUCK's web radio, podcasted by procpops.wordpress.com and KDUCK's web radio.wordpress.com.